Interlude. Devaron. In the deep shadows of a moonless night, deeper shadows gather. Beyond them wait the low slopes of the Karatoke Mountains. Ahead of them is a narrow valley in which there sits an outpost that has changed hands many times over the centuries. Once a Republic outpost, it fell to the Empire when Imperial reign ruled over Devaron. And now, yet again, it has returned to the hands of the revivified Republic. Here the jungle is noisy. Flocks of gold-feathered Takatae roost in the vine tangle above, chirruping and cack-cack-cacking. A thousand different insects hum and chatter in a cacophonous choir. Something kilometers away bellows, calling to another of its kind in the opposite direction. But the shadows remain silent and still. They are patient. They are waiting. Down in the valley, the outpost is lit by bold beams from spotlights. Beams that capture the slippery, sliding night mists. A flurry of activity sees ships landing and unloading supplies. The New Republic is establishing outposts new and old across the planet's surface. They bring people. They bring food and potable water. They have diplomats, liaisons, scientists, and of course, soldiers. They are invaders. This is a sacred place. 100 clicks from here is an old Jedi temple. It is not the only place on this planet strong in the Force. The shadows cannot feel this themselves, for they are not conduits for the Force, but merely slaves to it. As are all living things. All are caught in the river of the power that is the Force, trapped by its currents. Only those who wield the dark side of the Force are capable of changing those currents. They are river breakers. They do not surrender to fate. They are its foes. The shadows are acolytes of the beyond. Here wait 2 dozen of them, though they are only one cell among many across the galaxy. Though they grow restive, they know to wait. They mustn't disappoint their masters. Kaisa, a young Pantoran woman from Coronet City on Corellia, faces a wave of sudden doubt. She stands among people who are not her friends, not exactly, but who are her cohorts. Yiz, Lalu, Corbus, and her fellow Corellian, a friend and sometimes lover, Remy. She's not at all like Remy, though she pretends to be. He, like her, like all of them, has had the dreams. He's received the visions of the darkness, dreams of Sith, both ancient and recently living, plaguing his nights. And he loves it. He loves being a part of something. The darkness hasn't taken him. He has given himself to it. Kaisa pretends to be the same, but she's not so sure. She's angry, that much she knows. As a street rat in the worst parts of Coronet City, she has a lot of rage divvied up among an unholy host of those who have made her life harder. The peace officers that hassled her. The chits and debits office that chased her for every last debt against her family's accounts. The high-born Corellians who would stare down their noses at a low-born gutter girl like her. When the dream started, and when the man came to recruit her, the acolytes seemed an easy fit. She had anger to spare, and she was told that her anger was purifying. It was a virtue, the man told her, a necessary vice. It was anger that shaped the galaxy. It was rage that fueled the engines of change. It made sense. It felt like home. She started low in the order, as they all did. She tagged walls with the Vader mask sigil and the warning, Vader lives. she stole credits and tithed them to the cause. While others were slicing into the HoloNet or attacking security forces, she was still scouting locations for dead drops or safe meets. Then came Remy. He had this perfect mix of confidence and injury, like a monster who had been tamed, a fire whose flame was both brutal and beautiful. He was young. He was angry. He was gorgeous. That's when he told her what they needed her to do next. She would get a job inside the P&S station. Kaiser would work with the peace officers. They had rigged up new papers for her, new thumbprint scans, a new digital history. Gone was Kaiser the street rat. Here was Kaiser the doll, with good breeding, the dame from the secretary pool. Then came the night when the acolytes attacked the city. A distraction so she and Remy could steal something from the archives underneath the station. A relic from a fallen Sith. A lightsaber. That lightsaber now hangs at Remy's belt. Since that night, Remy has grown more egotistical. He ignites the blade sometimes and stares into it, his mouth moving as if he's whispering to it. Other lightsabers they've sacrificed to the Sith beyond. Those who have died and who wait beyond the veil, whose orders the acolytes follow. Those ancient specters are the ones who give them the dreams, after all. But now they've begun to keep the lightsabers. They have those and other artifacts, and only the most esteemed of the acolytes are allowed to hold, use, and keep them. Tonight, they move beyond the collection of relics. Tonight, they attack. Not just here. The strikes will take place across the galaxy. This is the first attack. And as such, it is a small one. In various systems, the acolytes have gathered on different worlds to slaughter enclaves and outposts of the New Republic. They do not have the number or the power to achieve bigger. Not yet. But they will. This is just the start. And Kaiser is afraid. She doesn't know if this is who she is. She doesn't know if she's as strong as Remy. She doesn't know if the visions she's experienced were even real. Kaiser thinks,
if I go ahead with it, if I go on this attack, I'll just stay in the background. I'll make it look like I'm doing something, like I'm participating. Maybe I'll hit somebody or throw a detonator and blow up a shuttle.
The anger she's felt for so long curdles and goes sour. It turns to fear. Puzzlingly, it is that fear of which she is afraid. If she runs, if she seizes the fear and lets it guide her, they'll come for her. Remy won't let her escape. He'll find her tonight, or in a week, or in a year. Remy does not tolerate things that disappoint him. As she works diligently to still her heart, a new shadow joins them. This shadow, blacker than all the others. It is their master. It is Yup T'Shu. The acolytes bow to him. They gabble their glee at seeing him again after so long. He is not their only master. He is one of many, though their living masters number far fewer than their dead ones. But he is the closest they have to the Sith Empire created around Sidious and Vader. They paw at him, and he adores it, his crevice-lined face tilting back with pleasure. Kaiser does not join them. She's too afraid to do anything, even to move. It's as if she's a stack of little rocks, and if she moves, all of who she is will crumble apart and collapse. T'Shu begins giving them their weapons. They were to wait for him here. He says they are special. They receive artifacts and relics from the ancient departed Sith. To some he hands dark robes. To others, he gives glowing red crystals around gut-leather cords. Then he turns to Kaisa. He hands her a mask. The mask is burnished bronze. The smooth metal is peppered with tiny hammered divots. The eyes are black glass. There is no nose or mouth, though where the mouth should be is a line of black rivets.
The mask of Viceroy Exim Panshard, he says, giggling. A mask made of meteoric metal and containing the screams of 100 innocents slaughtered for the Viceroy's pleasure. Masks have power. Some are worn in the grave, others worn in life. This, like the others in my collection, has gathered the darkness of the living force. Wear it. You are anointed, Kaisa of Corellia.
The others stare at her, some in awe, others balefully. Remy's gaze is poisonous. He says suddenly,
I should have that!
And he reaches for the mask. Tashu snaps at him, literally. His mouth opens and closes on open air, the half-broken teeth clacking together as Remy's hand recoils.
You do not deny the wishes of the venerable specters, Tashu hisses.
I...
Also, the lady needs a weapon, does she not?
Tashu's eyes twinkle with a special kind of madness as he reaches down and snatches the lightsaber hilt from Remy's belt. He places it gingerly in her hand. It throbs with power. She knows not to turn it on. Not yet. Its red glow could give them away, but its potential thrums against her palm. And as she lifts her chin and lets the mask rest upon her face, she feels a wonderful darkness sweep over her. It is a consumptive void, and with great hunger, it chews into her fear and swallows it in great greedy gobbets. With the fear gone, her anger emerges anew. It springs forth like a living thing inside her. A vicious creature hatches within her heart. Time moves strangely. She blinks, and it has begun. She's there now, at the outpost.
I'm not alone,
she thinks. The others are here. They have their mundane weapons, clubs and machine shop blades, and ugly chop axes, all painted the red of blood, the red of Sith. Republic fools scream and flee. One comes toward her, and the red blade extends from its hilt in her hand. She can feel its vibration up through her elbow, all the way across the bridge of her shoulders, and into her very teeth. A swipe of the blade cuts one scream short. Another takes the legs out from under a fleeing woman. Hate pulses in her. Her heart beats so hard, it feels as if it'll shatter her breastbone in twain. Kaisa moves with little precision. She swings and swipes with the blade. The force does not move through her, but the weapon is still unlike anything else she's ever seen. It cuts through flesh, bone, metal. The light leaves streaks of itself burning across her vision. It thrills her. Then she's down. Something slams into her. Her head snaps against the ground.
New Republic scum!
Anger, not entirely her own, threads up through her like braiding vines. And as she rolls over, she sees it's not a Republic soldier at all. It's Remy. His face is pale and struck with fury. As he yells at her, spit flecks from his mouth.
You aren't worthy! That's mine! Everything you have been given, I gave you! You weak stripling! You coward! You thief!
Her hand is empty. The lightsaber hilt is gone. She paws at the ground, kicking at him with clumsy feet as he descends upon her. Remy's long-fingered hands find her neck and close around it. He's weeping and laughing as his grip tightens. She gags, trying to get air. Her own hand bats at the wet grass, finding no lightsaber. Above them is the darkness of the outpost landing platform, and she hears the screams and yells of the acolytes and their victims. Someone falls off the edge and lands nearby. Thud. Everything starts to go black. Her eyelids flutter. Then she finds it. Her fingers close around cold metal. It happens fast, but feels slow. She jams the unignited blade against Remy's temple. His eyes are round and suddenly afraid. The red blade spears through his skull. His eyelids strain open. The eyes themselves cook and go red before burning to cinder. He drops. Kaisa stands, adjusting her mask. Then she lets the anger take her anew, and she resumes her assault. Soon, the outpost falls. Soon, the acolytes claim triumph.